Reish tezayin the imro isa rosha oshir shemis chatvin boy gidolim, a wicked wealthy man, and his daughter or son marries into the family gedolim of great holy people. He's thinking gedolim means good people. How could that possibly be? How could a wicked rich man have the merit to be a mechutin with a tzaddik or a great person? Dalcha. Obviously. So that's why I told you, just swallow. You learn Sefer Chassidim, you have to learn with a very different attitude. Dalcha. The only reason why this man is wealthy, isn't that a little bit very nasty? That the only reason why this gadol, I don't know what the word gadol here means. It says gidolim, great people, not necessarily tzaddikim. It means people of stature in society who are attracted to money. People are attracted to money. They'll only consider doing a shidduch with a wealthy person. So being that Hashem, in his plan, his divine plan, he wants this zivuk to come about. He wants this marriage to come about, because from this marriage will come children that will be partners with Hashem in achieving a goal, which we don't understand Hashem's ways. Sometimes Hashem has to play along, kaviyacha. Very strange, right? That because this person will not even consider doing a shidduch with anyone that's not super duper wealthy, Hashem allowed this person who is not fitting, who is not deserving to be very, very wealthy, in order that he should possess the qualities that will attract the mechutin to want that, to introduce his son to his daughter, v'chulu, to make this shidduch come about. L'kach v'yefu hiktim v'nosem lo ha'isha. And that's why Hashem gave him the wealth. Loi bavur zechusoi, mis chatnim boi. It's not because of his zechus, he has no merit. Elo avur zechuyois avoisa v'imoisav, the merits of his fathers, his mothers, the avois. Oisho hayu mevaz moisoi koidim lochein. That's very bizarre. Another here is throwing in two words, which is an entirely different topic of discussion, is because there was a situation where he was despised. And we know the principle of a person is he's put to shame for no good reason, and he accepts it and does not rebel. Hashem rewards him with unusual blessing. You ever see a person that someone's mevazeh berabim, and he just listens and does not talk back? It's a very holy person. He's such a minog. I saw this once. When someone, they were mevazeh a person berabim, a guy, and then people went up to him to get a bracha. The mamash, they lined up to get a bracha. And when to really qualify, you need an other mechuba to be mevazeh. You know, if you have a stomach guy, a homeless guy walks off the street and just says a couple of nasty things to you, it doesn't mean anything. But if you have someone that's choshev, and the person who's choshev is mevazeh someone else. You know, there's a way to be mevazeh someone. If you want to know how, come speak to me privately. Okay. I once had the good fortune of this happening. Someone was mevazeh me many, many years ago in shul, in front of the whole shul. And it was a whole story, whatever happened. And he saw he wasn't getting what he wanted from me. So he was mevazeh me berabim. I was so embarrassed. I don't know where to go. And one of the things he said to me in front of the whole shul was, "Who do you think you are? You think you're hot stuff?" He said in front of the whole shul, "You think you're hot stuff?" Like really loud. And everyone was looking. "You think you're hot?" I was so embarrassed. I just ran away. I ran away. By the time I got home, I already calmed down. And my mother saw I was like white. So what happened to you? So I said, this guy was mevazeh in shul. That can't be what happened. So she said, "So what did he say?" So I said, he said in front of the whole shul, he started screaming. And then he said, "Who do you think you are? You think you're hot stuff?" So my mother said to me, "So what did you say? So I read it that time, I calmed down. I said, Yeah, I do. And my mother was laughing so hard. All right, here I am, I can laugh about it today. At the time, believe me, it wasn't funny at that time. It wasn't funny.
Nobody likes to be insulted.
It's not, believe me, it's not a...
Well, but you can't just accept it, you got to answer
back. Okay, whatever it is over here. Now, this halacha, obviously, our bais is a halacha, which we think about, but it's a very dangerous halacha. It's not that you play around with, it's halacha. And that is, basically, you really do not know why. We have no clue as to the way Hashem runs this world. There are people that we see there's so many things put together. There are people in this world that have incredible, that have a very unusual blessing. And we look at them and we say, why? Who are these people? What merit did they have to achieve this great success? And you really don't know. It could be because of Zuchus Avos. It could be because Hashem, for whatever reason, is setting them up to be in this position, because there are other people out there in the world who are only attracted to this, and they need to be in position for some divine reason. You don't really know. I once was, not that long ago, was once invited to a certain event that I did not belong at. And at this event were some of the wealthiest people in the Jewish world. And I was there for about an hour, and I was a little scared to go, but I had to be there for a certain reason. And I went to this, in this area, each guy was a billionaire, one after another. But each one was, you know, the who's who in Klal Yisrael. And they came, a lot of them came with their family. They had their evil kids there. And I was there for about an hour, and I said to myself, these people, they're just like me and you. couldn't find in them anything special. It's like regular, ordinary people that have been blessed with enormous wealth and fame. Like, big deal. They didn't impress me. There are people that I've met that really impress me. People that are smart, people that are, you know, they have dignity. Talmidei Chacham, every once in a while you come in contact with a person that, like the people in this room right here, there are people that are very chashuv. You come across people that are very, very chashuv every so often. People in there, it's like, you know, these are the same guys I'm sitting there in shul next to. Like, you know, whatever, you're my friends, nothing special. So how come you are like, wow, like people that come... You can't even get an appointment with these people. You can't even go even near these people. To even talk to these people on a regular day. I want to go meet with one of these people. Oh, you have to have an appointment. Who are you? What do you want? You know, they have layers of separation between them and the Hamoinam. They're nothing special. So what is it? We have no idea. The Ribbono Shel Olam gives people blessing, puts them in situations and puts them in position. Different jobs, different. There, who you know, for his reason only. I once heard one person also. Recently, he told me he was invited to be to do something to basically to speak somewhere, and like people are like, what are you doing here? How come? He says, I have no connection here. It's only because I happened to daven and I'd sit next to in shul. The person who's in charge of this whole event that's taking place. Otherwise, you're right. I didn't even want to come here. They basically forced me, twisted my arm to come here. So what's the chances? How did that happen? Only the Ribbono Shel Olam does these type of things. And that's really all he says over here. And there is a Dvarim Pshutim. You don't need a sefer to tell you this, but sometimes it's kedai just to review inside in words, basic, you say this. Reish Yud Zayin.
Wait, one second. What does Gedayla mean here? Talmidei Chachamim?
No, it seems not.
Oh.
It seems that prominent people, they would a real Talmud Chacham be a Mechun with a Rasha? Could you say such a thing? No, then he's not a real Talmud Chacham. It's not, unless it's not up to him. Okay, once your children get to a certain age, parents have no control who they marry. But over here, you're dealing with, obviously, with a child bride. That the parents are making the shidduchim, if he's a real tzaddik, he's not going mechun with the Russia for all the money in the world. For the money in the world, I once met a woman recently. She said to me about a certain, they talk about a certain Talmud Chacham. She said to me, there's no way in the world he can be a Talmud Chacham. She said to me. I said, well, what do you have? He says, do you know how wealthy he is? Do you know how much money this person has? I said, yes, I know. She said to me, it cannot be, you cannot have both. If a person has this kind of money, impossible to be a real Talmud Chacham. It's one or the other. There's no way in this world you can have both.
If you make a deal, Sachar's
worth. What? Wait. Yeah, and she's right. She's right.
What do you mean?
Torah u'gedula b'mokim echad?
Did we have that in the
Mishnah? Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Oh, you have a Rabbeinu HaKadosh today? You know any Rabbeinu HaKadosh today?
No, but the Rabbeinu HaKadosh,
one in a billion. Today, it's so true. Today, everyone is searching to have both. They want to give the Daf Yomi Shir. They give the Daf Yomi Shir in the morning, and they give the best. There's no one in the whole world that can give a Daf Yomi Shir like them. They have 50 people come to their Shir, and they give the best Daf Yomi Shir. And then after davening is over, they go out to work, and they're making millions of dollars, wheeling and dealing in money. No way. She's so right. There's no such thing. You're a good person. You're Talmud Chacham. And you're very wealthy, but to be the real deal, it's impossible. Hamevin Yavin, it's impossible. You can't, there's no such thing. If you really shakua in Torah, the money and the business dealings, it's not possible. That's the reality of life. There's no one today in our generation you can say has such a great mind. He's able to completely master both. It's impossible. And this woman, she said it the way it is. Everyone respects him for being a very great Talmud Chacham, but she says to me, it can't be. Because I know firsthand, I know the family, I'm related to them, this, that. I know he works, he does a lot of very heavy-duty business transactions in what he does. Can't be. It can't be. You have to think about these things and work it through. And there's a lot of complications in every business deal you do. And you tell him you go. He's such a great Talmud Chacham, and he's the Rashi of the Hag. It's impossible. You cannot have it both. You got to decide in your life what do you want. You want to be rich? Don't expect to get the Keser Torah. If you want the Keser Torah, you want to receive the Keser Torah. Don't think you're going to be. Don't pursue, make a good living, but to pursue to be the richest man in the world is just not going. It's not going to happen.
In this Reshit and Zion said, Rasha and wealthy man. If it is not because is zechut, why the zechut of Avodah should come to this Rasha? There is anything tzaddik in this generation.
That's what he says. He says we do not know Hashem's ways. Hashem sometimes in his ways will reward a wicked man with extreme wealth, not in his merit, in the merit of his parents, grandparents, great-grandparents. B'chivshei d'rachmano l'malach. The secrets of Hashem are not for us to understand. Every only thing we have to understand is the Muna that Hashem has planned.
Matav is going to be destroyed.
I don't know more. I really don't know more. Reish Yudzayin.
What about the head of the Sanhedrin? Didn't he have to have certain
Gadleil Miechov. It means that the people that gave him a very good salary. It doesn't mean that he made the money himself. You're asking a very good question. The Kohen Gadol has to be extremely wealthy. Right. It means he gets a good salary. That's all it means. Does not mean that the Kohen Gadol goes in business ventures and he goes to corporate meetings and is the CEO of 20 firms and makes decisions. If you're sitting in as the chairman or the CEO of the biggest companies of the world and making decisions, you don't have time to learn a Daf Gemara. Okay, the decisions they have to make and dealing with the competition and all the issues that are going on, it is impossible to have a clarity of mind to delve deeply into the Sisrei Torah, the depth of Torah. And the Kohen Gadol, it means if he's a poor man, he's on a government, he's on welfare program, he's on food stamps, and now they decide that the Kohen Gadol is going to be this Kohen is going to be the Kohen Gadol. It means you give him a salary of $1 million. He doesn't have to make any decisions. He doesn't have to sit in the board meetings. He doesn't do nothing. The money's in the bank. You sit and do what you're supposed to do. You're a wealthy person. You don't need anyone. No one can bribe you because you're taken care of. Now you can do your job. But to go and be involved in an Amazon and decide, are we going to build this factory? We're going to build it in New York. We're going to build in New Jersey. Are we going to have drones? We're going to have airplanes. What's our next move? Business venture? No way. No way. You can't be the Kohen Gadol and prepare yourself to go Lefnai V'Lefnim Yom Kippurim when Erev Yom Kippur, they're calling you and they say, we got a problem. One of our drones crashed. And we have a fallout with the media. How to explain why the drone that was carrying the package, it crashed in someone's house. Come on. It's not, that doesn't go like that. We all know that to be true.
For the same reason, they appoint a Supreme Court judge for life. He should be worried that...
Re-election, United States.
Yes.
So the goyim also have an appreciation of this principle.
Yes.
If you're going to be burdened your whole every year with re-election, how can you be a decision maker for the United States, for the country? Right? So you see, it's proof. Even the goyim appreciate that you have to focus on one thing only. You cannot have everything. Rav Chaim Siegel, they wrote a book recently, Rav Chaim Siegel. And they wrote there in the book, there was a footnote. I told this to you yesterday. There's a footnote. That footnote came from me. And I was very disappointed because that footnote, I know as a fact, was the soid of his derech of chinuch. And that is, he would tell mechanchim, you cannot have everything. All the new yeshivas, they start out with a model. They're going to have the best limudei kodesh and the best Limudechol. They're going to hire the best English teachers. They're going to bring in the most charismatic rebbeim, and they're going to bring in for the Limudechol the best of the best. And they all try, and they all fail. Why? What?
The school can hire all these top.
They hire them all. They hire them.
But a student,
they can't handle
excel
it.
In
both, exactly. Well, there are yechidim, there are individuals. Individuals can excel in everything. But a school is not for a yachid. A school is for a tzibur. And a tzibur, it's been proven, there has to be an ikor and a tofel. If your student body wants to get into the Ivy League colleges, it's wonderful. Wonderful. If that's your objective, go for it. But structure the school where the ikur will be the limudei chol to get your students into Harvard and Yale and give them a good education. Give them a good Jewish education. Make sure they know how to read a pasuk in the Chumash. They know how to learn a daf gemara. But don't create a model where they're going to be the gedolei hador. That's impossible. If your objective is to get your kids into the Ivy League colleges, go for it. But the Torah is going to be on a back burner. If your objective is to produce Gedolei Yisrael, don't fool yourselves in thinking that the Limudei Chol is going to be the best of the best. The Limudei Chol is going to suffer. It's going to suffer. There will be individuals that will excel in both. There will be individuals that will get PhDs and will be Gedolei Hador. But to create a system where you're going to have everything, guaranteed failure. No one wanted to hear that. That was his yisod. He knew it in his blood, that to be true, from his experience. And he would tell this to new menahalim who didn't believe him. They didn't listen to him. And they went, they made yeshivas. And many of those yeshivas had always promoted themselves in the newspapers as the best of both. Years later, where are they? I can tell you the names of these yeshivas. They're gone. They disappeared. Where are they? What's left today? What's left today are the traditional yeshivas who have one goal. You have yeshivas out there who indeed want to get their kids into the Ivy League secular colleges, and they do.
Yeah.
Are they known to produce students that are Gedolei Hador? No, they're not. Are they Talmidei Chachamim? Yeah, some of them are. Some of them are very big Talmidei Chachamim.
Aren't they even observant?
Some of them, no, but some of them are very big Talmidei Chachamim. Some of them are Rashi Yeshiva. Yechidim. But they're good. And then there are the other yeshivas whose goal is to produce Gedolei Hador. Do those yeshivas produce people that get into the Ivy League colleges?
Yes, do they
No, they don't. No, they don't.
That's another story.
I think they do. I think many of them do. They do succeed in what they want for them. They do. A lot of these, there are no jobs to be Gedolei Hador. No one's getting a job as a Gedolei Hador. But the product of what they envision, they have more or less achieved. Are there problems? You bet there are. There are certainly problems. But the basic surah of what they're trying to achieve, the type of person, pretty much, yeah, with all the baggage, yeah, but there is that was a yisoid. That's the same thing over here. You cannot, to think that you could have it all is foolish and arrogant. You cannot have it all. In life, everything in life is a trade-off. You have to make a decision what is the ikur and what is the tafa. Like in Shaduchim, the famous story. A boy goes, says to his mother, what kind of girl do you want? I want A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K. So the mother says, you're talking about 20 different girls. The girl that has A doesn't have B. The one that has C doesn't have A or B. You're talking about 20 girls. There's no such thing as having everything. What's your priority? What's your priority? That's what you'll get. Everything else is going to fall to the side. That's life. That's the story of life. Midah b'midah lo b'teila. Next, Reishit Zayin. Midah b'midah is never bottled. V'techachesh sada lemar lo tzachakti ki yoreya. She denied. I did not laugh. Why did she lie? Ki yoreya. She was afraid of the consequences. L'fisha kizva al yidei Yitzchak. L'fichach nesa al yidei Yitzchak ba'akei dosa. Where would you hear something like this? Today they will censor this before they even open the book. Sefer Hasidim, I didn't say this, don't blame me. It means that why did Sarah die because of Yitzchak? When she heard that Yitzchak was put on the Akedah, he was bound, he was tied up, and Avraham picked up a macheles, lishchit es binoi, parcha nishmasa. She was nifta, her soul. So she died because of Yitzchak. When she heard that her child Yitzchak was about to be slaughtered, according to the simplest translation of the words of Rashi. Don't give me these mystical Kabbalistic interpretations. The simple translation of the words of Rashi, Shekimat, Sheloi Nishchata Bino, when she heard that it was a moment before her son was about to be slaughtered, Parcha Nishmasa. Why? Why did Hashem work it out that she should die because of hearing this report? Midah Kineged Midah, when the Malach said to her, Sarah, you're gonna have a Yitzchak. Sarah, you're gonna become pregnant and you're gonna give birth to a child and his name will be Yitzchak. She said, she laughed. You're making litzonus. She laughed. It's not true. Because she denied acknowledging the emes from the Malach Elokim, from Hashem, therefore Mida Keneged Mida, she was punished for Yitzchak. She did not want to believe that it could be true that she would have a Yitzchak. It was the report of hearing about Yitzchak which caused her to leave this world. Mida kineged mida. Okay, he just said here, the Sefer Hasidim, something with anyone in this generation would say something like this, they would take the Sefer and they would say, Arois from the Beis Medrash, to say something like this. You need an Yehuda HaChassid to be able to say something like this. Next, Reish
Chas. How are we translating
Kisva? Wait, we have it over there. Reish Chas. Tzar. New halacha. Reuven came with a tzar. He gets tzar.
What? How do you translate in kizva?
To lie, denial. Kozav is to lie. Lefisha kizva deyis. She was in denial. She was in denial that she would have a child. The malach said to her, "I'm coming back in a year from now." Koeis chaya hayipole me Hashem devar la moed ashuv lech koeis chaya ulasara bein. Okay, there's something along those lines. That was the response. But the Malach came and said, I'm coming back in a year from now. I'm making an etch on the wall. You see the sundial? When the sun, the shade, returns to this spot in 1 year from now, you will give birth to a child. When Sarah heard this report, va'techachesh, which means she was in denial. She denied. She laughed. It's sheker. Kozov. It's not true. You're a liar. Really? How dare you say I'm a liar? I am the Malach Elohim. What? So the question is, on her level, her exalted level of spirituality, right, knowing, sensing that the person in front of her that's making the statement is no ordinary person. This is a messenger of Hashem, whatever that all means. So on her, in her situation, knowing what she knows, being married to who she's married to, having a history and a background which is beyond our understanding, on her level of spirituality, it was demanded of her to say Amen.
Okay.
And not to make a joke out of it.
To die as a result of this.
Hashem is medakdek im sevivav kichut hasaira. Hashem, Chazal tells us all the time, Hashem is exacting, he is demanding with people that are on exalted levels, kichut hasaira, like a hair breath. Moshe Rabbeinu was denied entry into Eretz Yisrael because he hit the rock. Instead of speaking to the rock, that's not fair.
No, it isn't.
Okay, so that's what it says.
But Chayisara, it doesn't mean she changed her mind. What I did, I love, is not good. But
But that's not what he says.
No, maybe
his interpretation.
He changed his mind.
There are many interpretations. There are many different interpretations. But the Sefer Chassidim, his interpretation is Vatechachesh means she was in denial. She said to the Malach, "You're a liar.
Exactly.
Don't lie to me. You're a liar. You don't say to the Malach, you're a liar." Sorrow was on a different level. Next, Reshut Ches. Yitzchak, Yitzchak. She denied she will have a Yitzchak. So in punishment, she was denied life. She was denied. Her existence was. She denied the reality that there could be a creature in this world, a human being in this world called Yitzchak. Midukne, because of that, because of Yitzchak, your existence will be denied from this world. Is that better?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. I'm sorry.
Which one of the 13 midas
which
we learned before kicked in?
Which of the Yud, Gimel, Midas, Arach, and Hakam was not applied in this instance? I do not know.
Therefore, the name of Yitzchak.
Can we have to go further? Yitzchak means to laugh. Reish Yud Ches Reach. We're up to Reach. Rabbi said, please. Reish Yud Ches. Im Bar Ruvain Lidei Tzar. V'higit Tzar L'Shimon. V'Shimon Hischanein Al Ruvain Kilu Hatzar Al Atzmai. And when Shimon hears the pain of Ruvain and he feels the pain as if it's his own pain. Labasov kishiyova al Shimon shum tsar velo yischan and Ruvain al Shimon kumay Shimon al Ruvain harei kilu goizloi. You have an obligation to reciprocate. If someone feels your pain, you have a duty to feel their pain. And if you do not reciprocate, you're a ganav. You're a gazlan. From that person. That's what he says. If Reuven is suffering and Shimon feels the pain of his friend,
that's
share it.
You have to share.
Obviously, you're aware of that the other person is pain. V'lo yischan Reuven al Shimon k'mar Shimon al Reuven harei ki'ilu gizoloi yiraganof. Shenemar gizelas ha'ani bivoteichem. The theft of the ani is in your home. What does that mean? That this, the Gemara in the beginning Brachos talks about this. What does the ani have? The ani has nothing. What could you steal from a poor man? There's nothing to steal from him. He doesn't have a penny to his name. His dignity. The fact that he's poor, and you couldn't care less. You sit in your home and you watch television, and it doesn't bother you one iota that this guy is going out of his mind because he doesn't have parnasa. That you're a ganav. The gezel of the ani is bivateichem, is in your home. It's not a gezel of money, of an object. It's the fact that you can sit comfortably in your home and not pick yourself up and do something for him and to help him. That is also called gezela.
You have a corollary of that that many rabbanim complain about. You come to a rav with a shaila, you have a problem, you ask for advice, and then you ask your shidduch, and then the shidduch happens,
and you don't tell them, you know, I had a shidduch, I had a kid.
You don't follow up. You don't tell them the good news.
Right.
You only come for the problem. You don't come to report the good news. It's a corollary. It's not the same thing. It's that it's a nice thing to come back and tell them and follow up and tell them the good news.
This is what the Avodah is asking everybody to do, to help out.
Other people who have needs to feel their pain, and to do something about it. To pick yourself up and do something about it. Don't just sit back. Even if Shimon has salvation, Shenemar. So what does it mean over here? It means that even if Shimon ultimately, he explains on the side. Okay, let's see how he explains on the side. Don't make a mistake and think it means. Over here, if you don't respond with good morning, the classic example is if you don't say good morning to the poor man, you've stolen his dignity. Avol beloy hischanin gamolav, v'hu noisei beloy tefilasai magzei leikar. Let's say the victim, the poor man, does not come to you. He does not come and ask you for help. It doesn't matter, and he survives beloy tefilasai magzei leikar. The poor man got a job. What do you want from me? Once upon a time, I was very, very poor, and Reuven cried over my tsar. Now I owe him. Now the tables have been turned. Reuven is very poor. I couldn't care less. But guess what? Reuven got a job. Someone came along and gave Reuven a job. So I couldn't care less that Reuven was poor. I did not reciprocate. But don't tell me I'm a ganov because Reuven got a job. His salvation came from somewhere else. You have to hear the question? What's going on over here? Okay. Once upon a time, I did not have a job, and I was in pain. Reuven, my friend, went to the ends of the earth to get me a job, to help me, to feel my pain. Wow, he's a tzaddik. 10 years later, the tables are turned. I have a job, I'm secure, and Reuven is in the street. I see Reuven in the street, I couldn't care less. Chazal point their finger at me and they say, you're a ganav. As they're picking up their finger to point at me and say, you're a ganav, right before those words come out of their mouth, all of a sudden, someone comes over to Reuven in the street and says, Reuven, I got a job for you. I got a great job for you. And Reuven walks away and he's the happiest person in the world. So now I say to the Chachamim, don't pick up your finger and point your finger at me and tell me that I'm a ganav. He got a job. We don't care he got a job. That's not the issue. The issue is not that he got a job. The issue is that you couldn't care less. That's the issue. For the few minutes that he did not have a job, why did you couldn't care less? You didn't do anything for him. That's the issue. Even if ultimately, I feel him noisha shimon, you should have still cared. Shenemar v'yahavta l'reyacha kamoicha. Just like when you are suffering, you want people to feel your pain. It is your duty when someone else suffers that you should feel their pain. Someone once told me that you should practice this. How do you practice this? It's very, very hard to do this. It's a very, very good technique. I have a hard time with this. Do I care about anyone but myself? I'm a very selfish person. I really am. That's the truth. I'm a very, very self-centered, selfish ingrate. So someone told me, how do you work on yourself? Go on the computer every day. Go on the computer. Go to a website. Go to any website. If you want to be yeshivish, so go to a yeshivish website. Go to Matziv. Go to Yeshiva World News. Go to the right wing, and go read the news. Guarantee you, by the time you get to the third headline, you'll be hearing about a tzara. My mother used to joke, and she would say that they had only simchas. Mm-hmm. Only simchas.com? Mm-hmm. So she would call Matziv only tsaris.com. Rachmana Litzlan, that's what it is.
Don't listen to the news. It's very depressing.
It is. Okay, Drudge. Do you remember the Drudge Report? What's the success of the Drudge Report? There is not one shred of good news on that. Everything that's really, it's a psychological, incredible thing. There is not.
Terrible.
There is not one shred of optimism on that thing. Every single thing there is bad news. You know, the staffers, I read one of these people who works for the president, he says he checks Drudge at least 100 times a day.
Yeah.
For any new updates. It's one of the most popular websites in the world.
What?
It's one of the popular. But you go to Matz, he told me this is a very powerful thing, and it's talking very true. It haunts me, this. Go to Matzev. Try right now, right here in front of you. And you read the first story, second. Within three headlines, bad news. Don't go further. Pause for 5 seconds. Count to five. And reflect. For 5 seconds. Ay, ay, ay. Wow. Someone is suffering. And count for five. Moment of silence for 5 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Reflect for 5 seconds. Someone has a tzara. Okay, now go weiter. Go to the next headline. You'll come another tzara very quickly. That's life. Don't go, right? Don't go. I don't know who this person is. I never heard of him. I never saw him. I couldn't care less. Don't tell me how great of a Talmud Chacham, how many Yisoyimim, and how many Almana, and this and that. And this guy's house burned down, and this happened to this guy, and this guy's sick, and this guy doesn't have a job. I couldn't care less. I got my own problems. I got my hands full. I really do. I couldn't care less. No. I don't care about your problems. You see someone has a sorrow? Stop for 5 seconds and just reflect. In the beginning, you really won't, it'll just be a burden to count those 5 seconds. Do this a couple of days, you'll train yourself to feel someone else's tsar. And then he said to me, and after you do this on the Frum websites, it's not so bad to do it on the Goyshe websites also. When you go, to CNN, or you go to the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, any website, even the newspaper. It's not so terrible. When you see there's a hurricane in some country you never heard of before, you could also pause for 5 seconds and reflect that there are people out there that have grace of sorrows. Just, even if you don't feel any, you're cold like stone, it's okay. It's not expected of you. You're overwhelmed with too much information today. You're overwhelmed. It's okay to be cold, but still, pause for 5 seconds. You're going to see. Try this for a couple of days. You'll be a different person. Only takes 5 seconds. It's a very, very powerful insight. This guy over here was in an Ace Sara. People had Rachmanis on him. Now they're in an Ace Sara. It's a Gilgal HaChoyzeh Be'olam. That's the way the life is. So, you know, have some Derech Eretz. Pause for a few moments. I tell you the story many, many times. It always haunts me. We'll start with this. Is that Rav Moshe Stern. Rav Moshe Stern was the Mashkiach in Kamenitz, the Kamenitz Yeshiva. Kamenitz Yeshiva now is interesting. I read about it recently. It's making a big comeback in Eretz Yisrael. It's really, they're developing into a very big yeshiva, the Kamenitz yeshiva. But he was the Mashkiach there many, many years ago, Rav Aaron Stern.
Oh, I was wondering.
Aaron Stern, he passed away many, many years ago. I think his parents live over here in Flatbush. So, and they wrote a book. They wrote a book about him. And the only thing that I remember about the book, it's a big, thick book, is one day he wasn't feeling well. He died very young. He died 50, I think he died very young.
I was about
65, 70. He was 65? Yeah. And one day he wasn't feeling well, and his family, what you're not feeling well? So they kept him bothering. They discovered he's fasting. He was fasting. What are you fasting today? It's not a fast day. And they kept on pushing and pushing, and they discovered the reason why he's fasting is because in the yeshiva, there's a boy that's borderline. He's had a very difficult time, and he had a yerida, and he's on the border. This boy might go off the derech. He might go off the derech, this boy. He might just... And it bothered him so much, he was makabel to fast. To fast. The boy shouldn't go off the derech. A Talmud. It bothered him. He was yoyshev b'tainis. He didn't just... you know, okay, I'm not going to have dessert today. He was Yoyeshev B'tainis. That's the real deal. That's like not real. That's mamish not real. Okay, so that's what it says over here. Okay, I once challenged a person who did something very, very big and bothered me very, very much. And I basically, I didn't say to him directly, I sent a message indirectly is, before you did this, did you fast? Before you took upon yourself the achrayis to do what you did, which affected, which caused a lot of pain to a lot of people, in the name of Hashem, in the name of the Ribbono Shel Olam, all the Shem Shemayim, Kvod Shemayim, as if the Gantz Klal Yisrael rests on your plates. If you don't do this, Klal Yisrael will go down the drain. Let it go down the drain. So good. Let it go down the drain. Let Klal Yisrael go. It's not your problem. If Klal Yisrael goes down the tubes, it's not your problem. Your problem is, what are you doing? All right, no. So you feel that Klal Yisrael is your achrayis. It's your achrayis to worry about Klal Yisrael. Did you fast? Did you fast before you did this? Did you eat lunch? Such a chayis? You know, you have to feel some pain, right? I don't know, maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm totally nuts. I am probably nuts. But like, where are we gone? Where are we going over here today? He writes over here, you are ganaf. These are powerful terms. If you don't reciprocate someone who is good to you, you're a ganaf. You're a goslin. Scary stuff. All right, take a very short break and we'll talk about something else.
Part 3. I. Oh, remember the
book. Same book.
Remember the book that says,
once the boy is the Dhamma Kapskos, Shlomo's Al-Mahdi told the story, once the Dhamma Kapskos, Shlomo's Al-Mahdi was by Levaya.
Get out of here.
This other man's best friend had died. And even the love of the mess. And the man keeps looking at his mom. He says, I have to buy a flower pot.
This
is the best friend just died. And he keeps his head. I gotta buy a flower. I gotta go. I have to leave now. So don't look for
it.
So the next day, the next 2 days later, I asked him, this one a flower pot? He says he made a flower pot.
There you go, Hesh. It's funny, said, I have a guy I learn with. He comes to share. He's not, I don't know Tanya. He's not a little problematic. So always in the middle of the share. As soon as he's not interested, he always goes like this. Innocently. He doesn't do it to insult. That's just how he is. And he always goes. Right in front of me. So bored. It's so bored, you have to go and take a show, you watch like this thing.
You're going to have
like 5 times during this year. So don't come to the show, we have to go.
You go to the warm website.
I don't need to, because he's not, you know, he's not 100%
in there. About this bad news.
Yeah.
So a lady goes in a Jewish bus and she's full with these newspapers from all white supremacists, from Farrakhan, all these ones. And they ask him, why are you reading these anti-Semites? He says, what? If I listen to these old Jewish newspapers, this is a Tzora, there's a Tzora. Look here, he says, the Jews have owned the banks, Hollywood.
No, no, I'm saying you should go to Grundig. You shouldn't go to these webs of matzah because everything is, unfortunately, unless you want to watch the impeachment hearings, then you'll really be banned. We're worse today.
Yeah. Because he has his zechut here, Hashem is going to give him his zechut here, not to have any olam haba. Mushalem the son of El Panav le'avido. The Ashi Rasha.
Okay. Why on my phone, Android phone, it doesn't want to download the videos? The photos download, but the videos don't want. Why
enough
is that?
Space?
On my computer, yeah.
I don't know. I really don't know. I have to see it. I really don't know.
Because I have him on the thing, and it didn't want to download. There's something that it changed over because I have a computer. Is there a program that downloads it?
I have to.
You know, I'm saying it's not a hard question because I asked the. You know, you have the USB. It has to be connected, which I did, and everything. But it's guy thing. It's tricked everything. Did you work out of the trade? So serious. Remember the story. An ocean parkway. It's a fire, terrible fire. She passed away this morning. He was talking, he parks his car right in front
girl?
Who?
She died in fire? What's her name?
Tibet, T-E-V-E-D. They live right next to, he says, the good, the where they have the building there on Ocean Parkway on Forster. There's a house over there. It looks like a three-story house. Yeshiva World.
12-year-old died in fire?
Never. Someone else got burned too. You saw the flames coming in. That's why I don't want to talk serious, but you look at Shiva, it's the first next story.
Remember
the
Google
in the
upper next door here? What do you think? Old lives?
Okay, I want to tell you a vart that comes out of this week's parasha.